Matthew chapter 3. I'm sorry, I said something else. Matthew chapter 3. In this third chapter, we have John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and the substance of his preaching was, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And it says that they went out to him, that is, out to John in verse 5. They went out to him, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. It was a great number of the inhabitants who were Jews through and through, seed of Abraham. They went out to hear John the Baptist preach. And they were baptized of him in the Jordan River. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. Pharisees and Sadducees. Our Lord came to save sinners. He never had much to say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, except he denounced them. He spake unto them about judgment. And so did John the Baptist. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, where he was baptizing. And this is what he said to these Pharisees and Sadducees. These who were religious in themselves. He said, "O generation of vipers," the generation of snakes, he called it, "who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits answerable for repentance." Or for repentance, meet for repentance. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed," John the Baptist said, "baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. For he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John be baptized of him. But John forbade him. John was reluctant. And he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. That's John speaking to the Lord Jesus. I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, he said, suffer or permit. Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water into the heavens, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, there are several reasons, I guess, for being baptized. And one reason is that the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by a man called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was reluctant, but nevertheless, our Lord Jesus said, he said, it's got to be, we've got to suffer to fulfill all righteousness. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or permitted him. And the Lord God in heaven, a voice from heaven spoke, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then, over here in the latter part of this 15th chapter, or the latter part of the book of Matthew, now the beginning of our Lord's ministry began with John the Baptist, and the end of his ministry, he had gathered all the disciples, the 11 disciples, not 12, 11 of them, Judas Iscariot, who denied the Lord for a few pieces of silver, hung himself and went his way. So they're just 11. And verse 16 it says, then the 11 disciples, that's the last chapter, 28th chapter, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He told them to meet him there. And when they saw him, the first thing they did was worship him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them as John the Baptist baptized his disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, I said there are several reasons to be baptized. The first reason was the Lord Jesus Himself, the captain of our salvation, the sinner's Savior, the sinner's God, was baptized as a man by John the Baptist. And He hath commanded that all of His people, all those that are believers in Him, be obedient and be baptized. Those who are believers are commanded by God to be baptized. And the preachers that He sent out in these 11 disciples, He commanded them to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing those that believe the testimony concerning God's Son, those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Old Paul there that I read to you, arise and be baptized, Paul. He said, what is it that I must do? He said, well, there's an Ananias over there, a brother. He'll tell you what to do. When you've seen old Ananias, Ananias said, arise and be baptized. That's a reason why. Another reason why we should. Another reason is it's by way of identification. We identify our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. When He died on Calvary's tree, Calvary's cross, when He gave up the Spirit, and, He died. He died. And He went into the grave and stayed there for 3 days and came forth. And when He died, the believer died. You and I who are believers and who follow after Him, He so in vital union joined Himself to us. And God put us in Christ. God is made unto us righteousness and so forth, that we twain become one. We are like the vine in the, or the branches in the vine. The branches cannot live apart from the vine. The branches get their fruit and their strength from the vine. Yet they're both one. And so we are one with Jesus Christ. He became a man and took upon Himself myself, my humanity. And in my humanity, though He was tried and tempted in every form, shape, and manner, yet our Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. Knew no sin. His only association with sin was my sin, when it was laid on Him. And when my sin was laid on Him, then I have no sin. No sin, because it was all of my sin was taken and laid on the Son of God. And He made an end of my sin forever. Because I'm in Him. And He was buried. And when He was buried, I died with Him. And I was buried. And when He came forth from the grave, I came forth with Him. Now that's another reason why we follow our Lord in baptism. To identify ourselves with Him. With His death, with His burial, and with His resurrection. Well, more could be said, I'm sure, on this subject. Well, a whole lot more. But I don't know that that all is necessary here this morning. I want you to turn with me now in the book of Exodus. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Chapter 12, I think. No, that's not where I want, is it? Hold on. I'll tell you what I'm looking for here in the book of Exodus. I'm looking for when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now I know it's here. In the 12th chapter. Book of Exodus. I said the book of Genesis. I meant the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. In that third verse, look at that. The Lord here speaks unto Moses and his brother Aaron. And they're in the land of Egypt. They've got to get out of the land of Egypt. That's the land of death. They've got to cross the Jordan into the land of milk and honey. And says, he spoke unto them in the land of Egypt, and this is what he said. He said, this month shall be unto you the beginnings of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. They're in captivity now. They're down in Egypt. Been down there for 400 years. They thought that God had forgotten. And they had forgotten God. And was accustomed to the Egyptians and their religion. But they've been down there 400, think of that, 400 years. 2 or 3 days is a long time to us. A couple hours is a long time sometimes. But 400 years, can you imagine? Several million people being slaves and captives of these Egyptians working day and night as slaves to this ungodly nation, Egypt. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, not unto the Egyptians, saying, the 10th day of this month they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Well, let me say first off that this lamb is the lamb that John the Baptist talked about when he looked off into the distance. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And he pointed to him. He was there baptizing and preaching to this crowd. And this one showed up on the horizon. And John stopped everything and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Behold, here's a man. God in the form of a man. And John looked upon him as the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the substitute. "Now your Lamb shall be without blemish." Our Lord was without blemish, without spot, without fault, without speck, without stain, without sin. Our Lord knew nothing about sin. Pure and spotless. He was without blemish. A male of the first year, take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Well, you know the story. I'll not read it all. But they shall take the blood of that lamb and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And he goes on down, the 12th verse, and he says, "For I, God, will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. And the blood shall be to you for a sign or a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now the blood on the lintel secured Israel's peace. He said, "When I see the blood over head and on the side post of the door, when I see that blood, I will pass over you." There was nothing more required in order for these Israelites to enjoy a settled peace inside the hut. Nothing more required than to look to the blood. To have the blood. The blood secured them. The blood shut them in. Nothing else was required. And when the God of Israel passed over, he would see the blood and pass over them. Now, death had to do its work in every house throughout the land of Egypt. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Death must do its work. But God, in His great mercy, in His great love, according to His great wisdom, He found an unblemished substitute for Israel whom He loved, and which the sentence of death was executed. So God's claims and Israel's needs were met by one and the same thing, which was the blood of this Lamb without spot and without blemish. Now the blood outside proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that all was perfectly and divinely settled. That is, the judgment that was due them was fallen upon a divinely appointed sacrifice, which was the Lamb. Now he said, when I see the blood of this spotless Lamb on your doorpost, I will pass over you. Now that was enough. That's all he needed to say. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now it was not a question of personal worthiness. It was not that self in any measure, shape, or form had anything to do with it. It was the blood on the lintel and the side post of the door that brought about safety, security, and settled peace to those that were inside. Now, the Lamb here was taken on the 10th day and shut up for 4 more days. And on the 14th day, by that time, these Israelites had time to observe the Lamb, had time to look that Lamb over from its head to its tail, from its underneath, and from its legs and its ears. Every part of that Lamb must be without spot and without blemish, because it shows us that Christ, our Lamb, was foreordained of God from eternity past, but manifest unto us here in time, the Lord Jesus. Now, God's eternal purpose in Christ becomes the foundation of the believing sinner's peace. All that were under the blood were safe. They was not merely in a savable state. I want you to see that. All that was under the blood were saved from the wrath of the avenging angel of God who was about to come over. They were safe if they were under the blood. Now they were not just merely in a savable state. They were actually saved. They were not hoping and praying to be saved. They were saved. Those inside were not in a savable state. They didn't spend their time praying and hoping that God would save them. They were saved, and it was the blood on the outside that saved them. It was when God would see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, those on the inside, they knew this as an assured fact on the authority of that word which shall endure when this world's on fire, who cannot lie, the word of God Himself. Moreover, they were not partly saved or partly exposed to judgment. They were wholly saved. They were saved. All that could be saved of them was saved, and saved for time and eternity. They were under the blood. And God said, when I see that blood, the blood is the sign of your safety and your security. When the blood, when I see it, I'll pass over you. Now, if just one hair of a an Israelite's head could be touched, it would have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's word was void and the blood of the Lamb was valueless. Now, the Israelites, they did not merely know that there was safety in the blood. They just didn't have a vague understanding of that. They knew that they were safe, and the reason that they were safe, they knew, was because of the blood. The blood on that little post. Without the blood, they were gone jesters. Was it because of anything that they had done or said or felt or thought that made them safe? No, by no means. It was the blood and the blood alone that secured their safety. Not how they felt, not what they thought, or nothing that they had done. It was because that God had said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." So they rested, you see, in God's testimony, and they set their seal that God was true, and they believed God. It was not by the Israelites' own thoughts or feelings or experiences respecting the blood that they rested on. It would have been a poor foundation, wouldn't it, to rest upon your feelings or your expectations or your experiences. That's a foundation like our Lord spoke of in the New Testament when the fellow built his house upon the sand. And when the floods and the rain and the wind came, down went the house because the foundation was built on sand. If a man builds the foundation of salvation on his experiences or on his thoughts or what he does or does not do, it is a poor foundation. It's a foundation of sand. Well, this man inside and his family, they had some thoughts, I'm sure, and some feelings. They might have had some deep thoughts, and they might have had some shallow thoughts and shallow feelings. But deep or shallow makes no difference. They had nothing to do with the ground of their peace. Whatever they thought on the inside was not going to change that which was on the outside. And that was the blood. And that was their settled peace, right? They knew they were safe because the blood was out there. And they had God's word for it that He'd pass over them. It is not said here in anywhere that I know of in the experience of these Israelites in this type of redemption. It's not said to you Israelites, when you see the blood. Now they couldn't see the blood because there's inside and the blood was on the outside. So it's not said here, when you see the blood and when you value this blood as it ought to be valued, then I will pass over you. Now that's not what's said. Whether they had thoughts or feelings, deep or shallow, nowhere does it indicate or say Now, when you have the right thoughts about this blood, I'll pass over you. It was nothing but the blood. You know, we sing that hymn, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Our works don't, our thoughts, our feelings, our spirit doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the blood and the blood alone. Can't add anything to the blood. You can't imagine them Israelites coming out of that cabin that they was in and adding something to the blood. Nothing's to be added to the blood. It's the blood alone. So it was not said, when you Israelites see the blood, I'll pass over you. They couldn't see the blood. They was inside. What gave peace to these Israelites was the fact that it was God's eye that rested on the blood. Not their eye, but God's eye. It's God that must be satisfied. And the blood of the Lamb, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfies God. And He said, I'll pass over you. I'm satisfied. That done the job. That turned the trick. That turned everything around. There's your safety. It's in the blood. This guy, this Israelite, patriarch of the family, he couldn't possibly see the blood. He was in the inside. But bless God, God saw it. And that was enough. God saw the blood, and that was enough. God was satisfied. Now, listen to me, and I'll quit. The application of what I've just said of this particular experience in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The application of this to the question of a sinner's peace is plain. Now, the Lord, having shed His precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent Him, He was appointed by God, anointed by God, He was the Messiah. He was God's only begotten Son. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's not three gods, there's one God. One God. One and three and three and one. And God the Son. God the Son. He sent God the Son. And He shed His precious blood. That is, He died. You shed your blood, you're going to die. When the blood runs out of you, and you're no more blood, then you're 2 seconds from dying. So He shed His blood. He died. And His precious blood is referred to in the Bible. Precious blood. Made a perfect atonement for sin. That is, done away with sin. Made an end of it. He shed His precious blood for a perfect atonement. And He took that blood into the presence of God and sprinkled it upon the altar. And God's testimony assures the believing sinner that everything now is settled on his behalf by the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on behalf of the believing sinner and took His blood and sprinkled it on the altar in the presence of God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, this is settled not according to the estimate of the blood. Now, we can have high and lofty estimates of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not according to our estimate of the blood, how precious it was, but our security and safety is based on the blood itself, not on our estimation of the value of that blood. We could have a high opinion or a low opinion. We have high opinions. We believe it's the precious blood. But our safety doesn't depend on our evaluation of it. It depends upon the blood itself. You see what I'm saying? On the blood itself, outside. He was inside the family. He couldn't see the blood. The blood was on the... He certainly had a high estimation and value of the blood, but that had nothing to do with it. It's the blood painted on the doorpost. When God's eye rests upon the blood, upon that house, the occupants inside the house are absolutely safe. And when you and I come to God in Christ, we're safe in the blood of Christ. That assures us of a home in God's heaven. That entitles us to heaven and all of its blessings. We're under the blood. And when we come to see that and trust in Him and His righteousness and His shed blood, then the question is, what shall I do? Well, be like Ananias. Ananias said, arise and be baptized. That's a command of God. Every believer wants to follow God's command. Rise and be baptized. Well, let me say again then, this settled peace that the fellow had inside is not by his estimate of the blood, but by the blood itself, which God estimates so highly. It's God's estimate of the blood, not your estimate of it. It's the blood itself. Well, he can, on the account of this blood, he can righteously forgive us of all of our sin on the account of this blood. The blood speaks of death. The lamb caught up, examined for 4 days, has no blemish, no spot, no wrinkle, which pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't add anything to it. The Lord Jesus Christ, you can't add anything to it. To His person or to His work. When He said it's finished, it is finished. All the work and the requirements of God on behalf of a sinner is finished. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And He can righteously forgive us of our sins and give us a settled peace and a good hope and adopt us into His family.